while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, the best church in the
whole
wide world. I like to say that, and you say it too. Let me ask you why. Ooh, I like that. Somebody said, because it is. It just is. But why? Let me tell you a story. So as I'm telling you this story, think about Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. What makes us the best church in the whole wide world? Some of you have heard this story. It's a story of stone soup. Have you ever heard the story of stone soup? There was a man, he went into a village and all the people in the village were hiding. And the man said, oh, what's going on? Why is everybody hiding? And the farmer came out and the farmer, this man asked everybody, why is everybody hiding? And the farmer said to the man, he said, oh, the people in the village are hiding because we're all hungry. There's no food. All the children are weak. And nobody knows what to do. So we've all gone into our homes and we're just hiding there. So the man went to the nearby lake and he had this very, very large pot. He filled it with water and he put a stone inside the pot. With the water, and he brought it to the middle of the village and he lit a fire and soon, you know, the water starts to boil. The farmer comes out and says, what are you doing? The man says, you know, I'm making stone soup. What? He said, yeah, everybody's hungry. I'm making stone soup for you. He says, stone soup? I've never heard of stone soup. The man told him, listen, when this soup is finished, it's going to be the most delicious thing you've ever tasted. The farmer said, well, if that's the case, I'm really hungry. Can I have some stone soup? The guy says, of course. But you know what would make it a little bit better? You're a farmer, right? Say yes. You know, what do you do? Oh, I grow vegetables and stuff. You know what would make it a little bit better? If we could have just some of your potatoes to put in the stone soup. So the farmer hurried away, came back with some potatoes. They peeled it, cut it, threw it into the stone soup. Sooner or later, another villager, you know, came and said, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm making stone soup. The guy says, stone soup? What is that? Never heard of it. He says, you'll be amazed. By the time this soup is finished, it's going to be one of the most delicious things you've ever tasted. Really? Yes. Oh, can I have some? Of course you can have some. I tell you what we'll do, though. The soup would be a little bit better if only we had some beans. Oh, I've got some beans. Why don't you bring your beans? So the person went home and brought some beans and added it to the stone soup. Sooner or later, another one came along, asked the same thing, said they would, you know, yes, I'd love some. You know, okay, you know what? Would make this soup really good if we had a little bit of seasoning. Oh, I've got some seasoning at home. They went home, brought the seasoning, added it to the stone soup, and on, and various people came. The person with the onions brought their onions. The person with the chicken brought their chicken. And before you knew it, the smell of stone soup was wafting through the village. Everybody could smell it. Everybody came in anticipation. It wasn't long, you know, before, as I said, they all came to see this man cooking stone soup, and they'd all added their vegetables and their meat and their seasoning and their onions, and before you knew it, everybody had something to eat that day. It happened because everybody played their part. Stone soup. So next time you hear the story of stone soup, you say, yes, I know about that. So what makes us the best church in the whole wide world? Is because, somebody says stones. Oh no, what have I done? Stones. What makes us the best church in the whole wide world is because you play your part as well. You bring your vegetables and you bring your onions and you bring the seasoning and you bring the paprika and you bring the, you know, the chives and the this and the that, and you know, you bring the dessert and you bring the rhubarb should be illegal. As far as I'm concerned, rhubarb is an instrument of the enemy, as far as I'm concerned. It's good for me.
It's not.
No, it's good for you. Rhubarb, forgive me. I should wash out my mouth with soap for even you saying that word here. And this is what makes us the best church in the whole wide world. You play your part as well. But here, what makes us a church? Because we gather? There are lots of groups that gather. What makes us a church? Because we believe? There are lots of people that believe. One of the most abiding, one of the most powerful definitions of church, a person compared a church to fire. You cannot have fire without something burning. A fire is defined by burning. In the same way, a church is defined by mission. Church isn't about coming here, it's about go and tell. Go and tell. So what makes us church is because we're not just gathering to hear. It's not just about us. When we are church because we are church when we make it about others. It's about go and tell, not just about come and hear. And our text today covers what is known popularly as the Great Commission, Jesus' instruction to his disciples and to us, his instruction to the people of faith. There were two key things, two key statements, big statements Jesus made. You have the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment is you love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, the commandment of love. The Great Commission is the assignment, it's the job, it's the task, it's the to-do list. It's the job description. He says, go into the world. And so today is about the Great Commission. Let me just be clear so that we understand. The Great Commission was set at a time when, just after Jesus had been crucified. Yeah? So he gave this commission. He'd been crucified and resurrected. And then he spoke to them. So he'd already died. He'd already risen from the grave. This is after Easter Sunday. And so one of the things that we see in the Great Commission. Anyway, we'll look at the text. I was just about to say it. And then we'll look at the text in a moment. And if you have your Bibles, I'll encourage you to open it. Matthew 28, 16 to 20, because that's what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Jesus' words, and then that's it. We're done. So the Great Commission is Jesus' commission, Jesus' assignment, Jesus' instruction to us, the believers. Yeah, I'll break that down a little bit. As I said, it was him speaking to the disciples after he had been resurrected. Verse 16 of our text says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Whoa, stop. 11? We know why it's 11, right? Because, you know, the other guy... Yeah, the other guy, the children here, you know, the guy, you know, yeah. Went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Really, for me, when I looked at that verse, I thought, when did Jesus tell them? He told them before his death. They went to the mount because this was him meeting up with them after his resurrection. Yeah, they went to the mountain. He told them to go. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some, can you see it there? What does it say? Some doubted. Some doubt. Isn't that the state of the church today? Some doubt. When they saw him, they worshipped. You know, we say seeing is believing. Some people see and they still struggle to believe. The distractions, you know, we go on Wikipedia and we read all sorts of stuff online. And then Jesus shows up and performs a miracle and we go, really? Did that just happen? Yeah, it did. You know, listen. TikTok is not the Bible. Let me just be clear. Instagram, yeah. Okay, I'm not gonna go there too much because I use Instagram as well. But Instagram is not, sometimes we believe the stuff we see online. We get scammed. I mean, I read stories of, somebody got scammed by someone on TikTok, gave the person £65,000 on TikTok. Well, okay, how much money have you got that you're going to be giving it to some dude on TikTok? And this was a really significant moment. Because Jesus showing up again was the evidence, the proof that death had been defeated. This was the proof of his resurrection. He showed up. He had victory over all things. If he could defeat death, he had victory over all things. And here was the issue. They worshipped him, right? Now, Jesus commissions them, okay? And there's a why didn't he delay? Why didn't he, you know, sometimes when we read scripture, it's important we read with the open mind, read in asking the questions. On Tuesday, you know, these are some of the things that will be discussed in the cell group. Yeah, and those of you who attend cell group, respect to you, well done, keep it up. Because what we're doing is we're sharpening one another through those through these discussions. Yeah. Why? Why then? Why at that moment? Why didn't he say, I'll just wait for a little bit. I'll let the Holy Spirit tell them. Because there's an urgency to the work. Verse 18, and this is where we start to see, and this point that God actually goes before us. Verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And in so doing, all authority in heaven and earth given to me, he's establishing the sovereign, his sovereignty. He's establishing his power. He's saying, I have the right to tell you this. I absolutely have the right to tell you this. And Jesus' authority empowers us. We can act under his command. Do you understand? Do you understand what I mean? So a police officer carries something called a warrant card. Has anybody ever seen a warrant card? A warrant card is there. That's their authority. And that authority is given by the king. It categorically has the words that they are authorized by the king to uphold the law. They're not doing it in and of their own authority, in and of their own strength. And so Jesus' authority empowers us to act, empowers us to do, empowers us to go and do these things. If you're sent on a job, isn't there a difference when you know that you're sent with authority? Have you ever had to deliver a message, a difficult? Oh, let me ask this question. Those of you who are leaders, managers, business owners, let me see hands up. If you've ever had to sack somebody from work, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I see a few hands up. One of the toughest things to do, isn't it? But you know you're not, listen, it's a tough thing to do, but I'm not acting on my own volition here. I'm acting on behalf of one that is bigger than me, one that's more than me. There's an authority that stands behind you when you say, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to let you go. I'm sorry, we've come to the end of the road. So even in something as difficult as that, let alone something as simple as going out and being a witness, when you have the right authority behind you, you're empowered. When you have the right authority behind you, you're encouraged. And that means for us, we can operate in confidence. We can step out. We can go. Jesus sent me. Jesus, you know, the postman doesn't apologize that he put, how many times has the postman put a bailiff letter or a bill through your letterbox and say, sorry about that. It's not my business. I'm just delivering a message. Yeah. Those of you that ever received a bill that you think, oh, come on. Does the postman apologize for that? Oh, I'm really sorry about this. This feels like a heavy bill, you know, or eviction notice. I was evicted once. Did I ever tell you that story? Yeah, I was evicted once. Yeah, it's my indiscipline that caused it. Yeah, let's just call it what it is. Very, 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 most people who are evicted is because of their indiscipline. Yeah, grace is abound and we can feel sorry for them, but they get there usually because of their indiscipline. And when the postman delivered that letter, eviction notice, postman was like, yeah, that's for you. Well, the guy didn't, hey, it's none of his business. And so similarly, when we go out and we do what God's called us to do, he goes before us. There is an authority that's already laid upon which we can move. And his authority, because we know that, we have a confidence which helps us to allay our fears. You know, I love the illustration with the children earlier on. You know, having that authority, you know, that whole thing of, oh, I don't know what to say, I'm a bit shy. It's not about you. Just go, do it, you know, go back. Simple as that. And it enables us, it means that we can trust in his power when we share the gospel. We can trust that he is with us when we share and the gospel. And when we're witnesses, it's not just preaching and the like. It's about being a witness to God's goodness and his love. Verse 19, and here it is. Therefore, go and make disciples, he said, of all nations. The imperative nature of the command is really stark. The word go, go is a word. And you know that go is a sentence? It's one of the shortest sentences in the English language. Go, full stop. Go, just go. Go and there's no negotiation with go. There's no discussion with go. There's nothing else attached to it. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations. It's not optional for us. And going is not passive. Going is active. It implies action. That means there's something to be done. And saints, I'm here really to just go through this text and encourage you and ask you, what is the thing that you're doing? Where, in what way are you going? How are you going? Because going, in our context, involves local missions. It involves global mission. How many people have ever been on an overseas mission trip? One. Just one? Oh, two. Two people here have been on an overseas mission. Wow. How many people would like to go on an overseas mission? One, two, three, four, five. Just five. Six. Wow. Listen, with Jesus, hey, it's a win-win, isn't it? You know, you're going on an overseas mission with Jesus, it's a win-win. I remember one time, this was 2013, I said to a bunch of people, how many people would like to go on mission? They were like, I said, you know, I'm trying to organize a mission to the United States, to Virginia. They were like, oh, I'm coming. I'm coming. And they all came with their extra cash so they could do some shopping trips. By the time we finished on that mission, it was one of, isn't that right, Sumi? It was one of the hardest, most difficult, most challenging. We came back, everybody was knacked. Some people actually took two extra days of leave from work just to rest. But yeah, just because we're going to America doesn't mean it's a shopping trip. It's mission. You're serving God and serving his people. And so for us, you know, mission has to be beyond us, has to be more than us. And it is critical for us to understand that in our ordinary lives, what does mission look like? Mission is you talking to your neighbor. I love what PM said earlier on, and when she came up here, you know, yes, we're being a witness, but being a witness doesn't necessarily mean you stand on their doorstep and you open the Bible and start reading John 3:16. What? How many people know the slogan of this church? What's the slogan? Sharing the love of Jesus. That's all we're doing. And sometimes being that witness, sometimes sharing the love of Jesus is three simple words or four words. How are you today? That's right. How are you today? That's all. How are you today? And we're here for you. Some people want to talk. And trust me, when you go on this door to door, some people will talk the ears off. Hey, hey, hey. And some people don't want to talk. And it's a prayer point, you know? Some people will open the door and slam it shut. Amen. Hallelujah. We still pray over them because they're our neighbors. They're the ones to whom Jesus asks us to share his love. And so effective discipleship and ordinary discipleship happens in our everyday lives. It happens in our conversations. It happens in our interactions. And so I want to challenge you. Where is God calling you to go in your own context, in your own life? How is he calling you to go? As has been said, this Saturday, we're going to do this training so that we can be a blessing to this community. Yeah, it's not about necessarily inviting people to church. Let me be clear on that. It's not about that. We're not telling them, come. We're saying, we're coming to you. We're coming to meet you where you are. Let me be clear on that. Yeah, because sometimes we say, you know, come to my church. Pastor will preach and you'll be fine. And all they want is someone to show them some love and care and concern. So making disciples, following Jesus' instruction, it means teaching, means mentoring, yes. It means investing in relationships, but it means having a relationship in the first place. Just recognizing people, acknowledging them, talking to them. And as you know, discipleship is not a one-time thing. Making disciples is a lifelong thing. It's a journey. It's a journey with these people. Let them see what's happening in you and be influenced by that. Verse 19, we see here God preparing the way. It says, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we have, you know, as has been said, Anne was talking about the baptism class that was held, you know, a couple of days ago. And where baptism classes have started, and those of you who think, oh my gosh, I still want to get baptized, why didn't you come? Just you know, come and talk to me after the service today. Yeah, there are a few people that are going to be, you know, going down in the waters of baptism this month. And I give God thanks. I give God thanks for you. Yeah, and what happens is the hearts of those who are... Just as those who are going for baptism, God prepares the hearts of people that are going to encounter him. So when we're praying, we're saying, you know, I want to go out in the community. Lord, prepare their hearts. Go before us. Go in advance of us, Holy Spirit. And we see the number of times where there are divine appointments. You know, I met this wonderful couple last week. And I spoke with them, and it turned out, you know, and I remember that the wife said to me, oh, we know each other. I was like, really? You look familiar, but I don't know if I know you. And she said, yeah, during COVID. And she reminded me of an encounter that we had, and I was so joyed. But at the same time, I'm telling you now, I was humbled. I was humbled because this is somebody I met in the community. I want you to imagine that person saw me in the street, and I was fighting. I had my arms rolled up, you know. I was cussing somebody. I was throwing eggs at somebody's front door. I wonder why people do that anyway. Just, it's eggs. Eat it. You know, aren't you hungry? I mean, you know. But you know, the Lord goes before us, says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And prayer is a critical element. Ensuring that the Holy Spirit goes with us and goes before us is a critical element to what we do. And then verse 20, it says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he gives us the wonderful assurance, surely I will be with you. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Jesus is saying, I'm with you till the end of the end. I'm with you till after the end. And God equips us with his teachings. He equips us. The Holy Spirit guides our conversation. And you know, right here, PHBC family, we are a community. But we're a community in a community, called here to influence the community, to grow together, to teach, to disciple, and to live out Jesus' commands. And we don't just do that because we go knocking on people's doors and saying, how are you? We also do that in our own growth. In our own growth. You know, I'm looking around the congregation. A number of you here are teachers or have teaching experience. Don't teachers learn still? You know, teachers learn still. And so our growth is evidenced when we go out there. And so he says, I am with you to the very end of the age. He does go before us. And I want to assure you that as we step out in faith, Jesus is with us. God is faithful, and his faithfulness cannot change. Scripture says even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. And if Jesus says, I'm with you, he is with us. Simple as that. Yeah. But he is omnipresent. He goes before us. He prepares hearts. He prepares minds. And so it's important. I'm just going to wrap it up now. I think it's important for us to remember the call of God, his authority, our call to action. Yeah, he prepares us. He goes with us. His presence is with us. He calls us to step out in courage, step out in boldness, step out in faith. And so I want to encourage you. Be part of this door-to-door. You know what? You're not sure? Come for the training. After the training, make your decision. I mean, I say training. It's a session with refreshments. Yeah. So come on Saturday. 10 o'clock, isn't it? Is that right? Yes? No? Is it 10 o'clock? People are looking at me bewildered. It starts at 10 o'clock. The training day starts at 10 o'clock. Yeah. So who will you reach out? Who will you reach out to? And I just want to encourage you to have in your hearts and make a decision in your minds that you will step out in one way or another to share the love of Jesus.
We trust that you've been blessed. and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.